our California drought was still very severe, the LA Times contained this article called, "Will the World's Next Wars Be Fought Over Water?" And the article begins by saying this, "California's ongoing drought is one sign that we have entered some uncharted and uncomfortable territory. Of the fears that have arisen alongside a warming planet, perhaps none have attracted more attention than the water wars hypothesis. This hypothesis says that increased water shortages around the world will lead to war between states. It goes something like this, as water is central to all human activities, including food production, no state can allow its water resources to be compromised. Therefore, in a world of squeezed water supply, states should be willing to go to war to protect their access to water. At its core, the water wars hypothesis expresses our deepest anxieties about a drought-laden future, wherein desperately thirsty societies take up arms against one another." A year ago, that's what was printed in the LA Times. Water is vital, isn't it? Thirsty people need to drink. And extreme thirst changes priorities. It motivates people to act. If we suddenly had no access to water in California, if all the water towers and wells and rivers and lakes and reservoirs were completely dry, well, then our houses, jobs, farms, they would lose their priority, wouldn't they? Our top priority would then be water. We need water. We're thirsty. Well, thankfully, God has been good. The rain and the snow have been falling. I read this week that the United States Drought Monitor no longer designates California as under exceptional drought. Praise God for answered prayers. But I bring up the water wars hypothesis because the verse we're going to look at today in this series of sermons called Blessed Living, the verse is about thirst and hunger. And the application question today will be this: what are you thirsty for? What are you thirsty for? That's a significant question because your answer is shaping your priorities. Your answer to that question is shaping the decisions that you're making. Thirst is a strong motivation because it involves life and death. The verse we're going to look at concerning thirst is part of a list of statements known as the Beatitudes that describe the blessed person, the truly happy person, which we have learned is the Christian. An important point about the list that I will continue to mention as we're in this series is that the list is all-inclusive. Jesus is not describing eight different people with the list. He's describing one person, which means that the Christian has all of the characteristics that Jesus includes in the list. And another important point is that all of the characteristics flow together. The first characteristics that Jesus mentions in the list naturally and unfailingly flow into the other characteristics that he lists. We're going to again see that flow today. As our scripture reading, we're going to read Matthew chapter 5, verses 2 through 6, but our focus will be verse 6, which is the fourth beatitude. So please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and again, we'll read verses 2 through 6, and please stand for the reading. We stand in honor of God, recognizing that this is His holy, inspired word to us. God is speaking as we read. And He, Jesus, opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for these words of Jesus recorded for us that teach us of blessed living. And we pray that we would understand these words well. Come and teach us, and then help us to respond rightly. May we all drink deeply today from your well of grace. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. What are you thirsty for? What are you thirsty for? We need to answer that question because the fourth beatitude tells us that the blessed person, the Christian, hungers and thirsts for righteousness. And so I ask you, does that describe you? Are you thirsty for righteousness? To help you answer that question, I'm going to raise and answer two other questions. Namely, what is righteousness? And second, how you get righteousness? So your job today is to answer the main question, the application question. What are you thirsty for? That's your question. And my job is to help you answer that question. And I'm going to do that by raising and answering these two other questions. That's the outline of the sermon today, all right? So first question, what is righteousness? What is righteousness? We have to answer that question from God's viewpoint. Not from the world's viewpoint, but from God's viewpoint. The Beatitudes are about being a citizen of the kingdom of God. So what people, other people think about your righteousness, that really doesn't matter. What matters is what God thinks about your righteousness. And God's definition of righteousness is this. Righteousness is perfect, flawless obedience to the whole law of God. Righteousness is perfect, flawless obedience to the whole law of God. If you, from the moment of conception until that moment you see Jesus perfectly, flawlessly obey the whole law of God without even one slight act of disobedience, if you in thought, word, and deed obey the whole law of God, then you will be declared righteous. I want to prove that to you from the scriptures and shed some light on it by taking you to several passages. The first verse I want to take you to is Romans chapter 2, verse 13. The verse says, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified." The word justified refers to a legal act, a legal declaration. It refers to God legally declaring that someone has met all of the requirements of the law. Or in other words, God judges and then legally declares that someone is righteous. And we learn here the standard God uses for his judgment, namely the law of God. God judges whether the full demands of the law are met. If you are a doer of the law, if you fulfill all the requirements of the law, then you are legally declared by God to be righteous. And notice that there are no exception clauses in this verse. The verse, for instance, doesn't say, if you are a doer of the law most of the time, or if you do most of the laws. Now, this verse means obedience to the full law. If you meet the full demands of the law of God flawlessly, then you're declared righteous. So, what we learn from this verse is that righteousness is full, flawless, complete obedience to the whole law of God. And we learn that it's God who judges whether you are righteous according to that law. How the people of the world judge you, again, that doesn't matter. How God judges you matters entirely. Now, I want to put some flesh on that truth by focusing our attention on a person that Jesus once met. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22, we read this. "And behold, a man came up to him, up to Jesus, saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' Now, that's what we all want, right? We all want blessed living. We want eternal life. We all want to go to heaven. That's what the Beatitudes are all about, entering the kingdom of God. Blessed eternal life. So let's listen here to Jesus' answer, because he's being answered this very important question here. Let's listen to what Jesus says. And he, Jesus, said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." Notice that, keep the commandments. And this man said to Jesus, "Well, which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Notice that Jesus read to him from the Ten Commandments. Jesus did that because the Ten Commandments are a summary of the whole law of God. And then he even summarizes it further by saying, love your neighbor as yourself. The Ten Commandments are what we fully have to obey to be declared righteous. You are not righteous by meeting the demands of society. You are righteous when you obey in thought, word, and deed the full law of God, which never changes. So Jesus mentions the Ten Commandments. And then we read this. The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" Well, let's pause there and think about that answer.